produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Happy Friday and welcome to the Mommy Meltdown. I'm so grateful that you were here this morning, and I pray that as you were listening, you will just choose to just listen to the whole program. I hope that if you have tuned in on purpose or you were here by accident, I hope that you know that there are no accidents with God, and He obviously in His sovereign will had you come across this radio session, and here you are. And now I pray that you will just intentionally stay here and hear what God has for you and open your hearts for the word that God wants you to hear. And I pray that as you're listening, you will not hear Dorothy Gates, who is the host, but you will hear Jesus and just a little bit of encouragement along the way. Here on the Mommy Meltdown, our goal and desire is to just uplift mothers, give them a little bit of the encouragement to just keep going and to remember that you're not alone in the motherhood journey. God is right here beside you. He's right there helping you, encouraging you along the way. He's giving you everything you need to be a successful, wise, gentle, tender, compassionate mother. And let me just say, if you are trying to do it in your own strength, you're never going to make it. But if you are doing it in the strength of the Lord, sisters, you can do it, and you can raise a mighty army for His honor and glory. So again, my prayer is that you will just enjoy today's program and that the Lord will have something very special for you. So here on the Mommy Meltdown, we've been going through the series Sparkle and Shine and how as moms, it's so important to shine our light. Unfortunately, we focus on shining our light everywhere else and we miss it in our own homes. And God has called us to first shine our light in our home, reach those that He has entrusted us with, those little children. The ones that God has put in our pathway every single day to raise and train and mentor. And so often we're so consumed with trying to build a light that would build a ministry or a legacy or promote a brand or give us a name. And we're completely distracted from the intentions that God had first planned for woman, and that was to be the light in the home. Now, all those things are wonderful things if you're doing it for the glory of God, building a ministry and doing a work for God. Those are all important, but don't get sidetracked on what's the most important, okay? And besides your relationship with Jesus, your home is next. It's your home. So shine your light at home. Let your light shine the brightest at home. What happens is we go and shine it everywhere else, and then our light gets a little dull and gets a little burned out, doesn't it? And so when we come home, we don't have much of a light about us. But yeah, our light should be strongest at home for our family's sake. So today, we're going to talk about building a dream home and how building a dream home is so important to shining our light. When I think about a dream home, I'm quickly go back to the days when my husband and I were building our home that we live in now. It was an old, my goodness, you would almost even say a little shack that was on the property that we built. And we took that old shack and we completely stripped it down to nothing but the studs. And we took the ceilings, the walls, everything, the flooring. We redid everything. We even moved it from off of its little foundation and we moved it to another foundation. And we began to make that our dream home by designing it, tearing down walls and coming up with a floor plan. And then we did some, not only did we did remodeling, but we did a whole bunch of adding on to the house. And little by little, year by year, one project after another project, we have gotten our home pretty much to the way we dreamed it up in our heads years and years ago. But we did it one step at a time and we focused on one thing at a time. But the first thing is we had to have a dream. We had to dream up what we wanted and we had to come up with a plan. Now today I want to ask you as a mom, have you dreamed up what kind of home you want for your family? Now I'm not talking about a house. I'm not talking about the style of home. If you want a brick home or you want the board and batten, or if you like siding. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about anything that has to relate to your physical home as much as we're talking about the foundation and the spiritual aspect, the feel, the harmony of your home. Have you ever dreamed up what you want it to look like? I hope you have. And I'm not even talking about in your mind, you picture a husband and four kids and you want two girls and two boys and you have a dog and a cat and this gives you your perfect home. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about what does your home feel like? Is your home a peaceful home? Is your home a happy place? Is your home a refuge from the crazy world outside? Do your kids come home and they're able to take their shoes off and relax after a stressful day at school? Or do they come home and it's nothing more than a war zone? It's a cluttered mess of a home that there's no peace because there's so much chaos going on at home that they don't even want to come home. There's so much bickering and arguing and cussing and yelling and people just don't even want anything to do with home. So may I say, ladies, as you are listening today, may you begin to envision what you want your home to look like. Do you want it to be a little bit of heaven on earth? Or is it nothing more than hell? Ladies, you have the ability and the power that God has put into you to make your home a peaceful place for your family. And so I ask you, have you ever dreamed up what you want your home to look like? Because before you can build your dream home, you first have to dream it up. So I ask you right now, begin to dream of what you want your home to look like. What do you want it to look like? I did this years ago. I began to dream up what I wanted my home to look like. And the first thing that came to mind was I wanted a fruitful home. Now that may be, that might tickle you because you might think, oh my goodness, that means she wants lots of children and lots of children. No, that's actually not what I wanted. I wanted a fruitful home that came from Galatians 5 that resembled the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, which we know is self-control. I wanted those fruits to be a reflection and evident in my home. I wanted love to abound in my home. I wanted joy. I wanted it to be a joyful place, not a place that people didn't even want to walk into because they could feel the stress and the tension. I wanted there to be peace here, long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. But let me tell you, when you begin to dream up that home, you have to have a plan. How are you going to get there? You got to fight for what you want. You have to have a plan. So I began to decide, how am I going to put into place or put into an action how I want my home to be? So the first thing I did is I went to my instruction manual, right? I went to the place that shows me what I need to do to build a fruitful home. And it's really fun when you begin to look to the Bible and God's words for what he says about the home. Because look, the Bible has every answer to every question. So as I began to study home, the first thing that began to come to my mind was the old popular song, "The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the house on the rock stood firm." And we know that the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and eventually it came crumbling down. And so when I began to think of a fruitful home, I knew that I needed a home that was built on a strong foundation. And Matthew brings us right to how to build that strong home. The Bible says, the one who hears the word of God and does it. He doesn't just hear the word of God and let it fall to deaf ears, but he hears the word of God and he obeys the word of God. That man is likened to someone who builds his house upon the rock. So the first thing I knew I needed to do was listen to God's instructions. God had the instructions for me. He had the floor plan for me. He had the blueprints for me. All I had to do was go to the word of God. In Matthew 7:24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," do them is the key, "I will liken to him as a wise man which built his house upon the rock." And I knew I wanted a strong house. I wanted to be that wise man that was building on that firm foundation. And so I knew that God had to be the foundation of my home. He had to be the cornerstone, the centerpiece. He had to be the one that I was building everything upon. It had to be based on Jesus. If I was building my home for what I wanted or the good of me, that would be like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. If I was building my home for my son and everything he wanted, and I was trying to structure this happy home based on what would make him happy, woo, Lord have mercy. That would have been a hot mess. Have any of you tried to keep a 9-year-old happy 100% of the time? You couldn't afford it. And it changes from every day to every day. It's impossible. And you're going to just build a rotten spoiled brat in the process. So I knew those weren't what I was wanting to build my home, the foundation of my home. I needed that strong foundation, and Jesus had to be. There was no other options. Jesus had to be the foundation of my home, which means that Jesus got to be the center of every decision in my home. Jesus had to become the master of the home, meaning he has full permission to reign. And he could come in here and say, you know what? You need to get rid of that. That is hindering you from having a fruitful home. You know what? You need to quit watching that, because that is hindering you from having a strong foundation. You know what? That thing that you let slip in, it's not the best for your family. And even though it seems innocent, it's going to tear down the strong family, and is going to put some cracks in the foundation. So get rid of it. And Jesus comes in as the king of the home, the Lord, the master. And he begins to show us how to build a strong home, how to get that fruitful home that I so desire. Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. You know, that scares me that it's the woman here that plucks it down. A wise woman builds her house, but a foolish woman plucks it down with her own hands. We have a lot of power in our hands, don't we? Mamas, the power to do good or the power to do evil is within our reach. It's in our grasp. We can build up a godly home, or we can tear it down quicker than the devil could, probably. That's scary to think about. That's why we've got to go to the Word of God to see how to be that wise woman. How do we build a strong home? So, as I said, the Bible is our instruction manual. It tells us everything we need to know. So, as I began to search for ways to build this strong home, I went to the Bible and looked at those fruits of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. And you know, the very first fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. Without love, man, it's like we can't access anything else. We have to have that first fruit, that first one. And the first one is love. And it's by no accident that happens to be the first and greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God and love others as yourself. God says, all right, you want to have a fruitful home, then you got to love. Love is the first ingredient, the first step to building that firm foundation with Jesus Christ. You have to love. You got to love like Jesus loves. So we go to the Bible to see what is the true definition of love, because love, you know, to a woman could mean roses and flowers, and it could mean candy, and your husband remembers to write little notes for you. But if we're basing that on love, then when he doesn't give you the flowers and he doesn't send the little love notes or remember to your birthday or that is Valentine's Day and you don't get chocolates, then does that destroy love? So we've got to look to the Bible to see what is the true definition of love. And 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8 shows us exactly what love is. It says, charity, which is love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave itself unseemly, doesn't seek her own way, it's not easily provoked, and it thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, because charity never fails. You see, we look to the Bible, and the Bible gives us a true definition of what love really is. Love is putting yourself back and honestly building up the ones in your home. I heard it it said and defined that love is giving up your way several times a day and never mentioning it. Wow. You know, I might give up what I want to do and I might be inconvenienced, but you're probably going to know about it, right? Yes, fine, I'll go do that, but I just want you to know I was in the middle of this. Now, who's going to do this? Right? But love doesn't seek her own. Love builds up. It bears. It believes. It hopes. It endures. And I truly believe we can never experience those other fruits of the Spirit until we first define and live out what love truly is. You see, until we take on that mind of Christ and love like Christ love. And you know we can, because Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Jesus knew the ultimate definition of love because he gave. And that's how we need to be. We need to be willing to give. Give to our husbands. Give to our children. So love is an action. It's not a feeling. And unfortunately, we often mistake that. Love is an action. And we don't wait for them to love us like we want them to love us. We love them like Christ loved us. Even if they don't deserve our love, we love them. So if you're searching for that peaceful home, a place that is a safe refuge or a little bit of an oasis, a place where your children can come to and just relax and not feel like they're at battle with anyone, then the first step, you have to obey the instructions that God has given you. And the first step is love. You have to have love in your home. I knew I wanted that peaceful environment. So in order to have peace, I have to have the Spirit, because peace is a fruit of the Spirit. So how do we get the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? How do we have that fruit in our life? Well, that fruit is basically the evidence that you are living in the Spirit, that you are walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, that you have submitted to the Spirit. And Ephesians tells us to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. So right there, he says, okay, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, this is how. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. You know, so often we start off our day strong because we start off in the Word and we have our prayer time, our quiet time, but something happens between that quiet time in the morning and the end of the day when we're just, if our kid says, Mama, one more time, or if that sibling fights with that other sibling one more time, or if your husband asks for one more thing, Lord, help us all, right? But yet, when we walk in the Spirit, we can maintain the Spirit all day long, and we can feel the gentleness, the goodness, the temperance, the long suffering. Oh, he just has a way of sustaining us even in the midst of the chaos. God can sustain us because that Spirit is within us. So how do we on purpose be filled in the Spirit? Because it's a very intentional thing. It does not happen by accident. And the best way I can tell you, ladies, is you are going to have to intentionally decide throughout the day to reconnect with the Holy Spirit by psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So here are some quick little ways that you can reconnect through the Spirit all day long, where you're walking and being filled and kind of feeding the Spirit throughout the day. One, set an alarm throughout different times of your day that you can just resubmit to Him and focus your mind back on the Spirit. Holy Spirit, please help me to see the things you want me to see. Holy Spirit, please help me to say the things you want me to say. Holy Spirit, I just want to resubmit myself to you, to be completely connected to you and sensitive to you so I can hear you. In the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the crazy, in the midst of the tired, I want to hear you. So you're reconnecting to Him throughout the day. All right. And then it also says through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So that tells me throughout the day, I need to feed myself some things that are going to make my spirit healthy. Listen to the Bible on YouTube while you're washing dishes. Listen to good, godly gospel music, praise and worship music that will feed you while you're folding laundry. You're doing things that are continually feeding and renewing yourself. Because in Romans 12:2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to constantly be renewing your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you are just setting the door. You're setting the opportunities for the Holy Spirit to come in and rule and reign in your life. But you've got to do it intentionally because it doesn't happen by accident, okay? We have to choose to be strong in the Lord. And the only way we can be strong in the Lord is in the power of His might. So we've got to set ourselves up for that, okay? So, also I want you to know that God wants you to win. He wants you to succeed. So, be confident in this very thing. That which God hath begun a good work in you, He will perform. So, you want to build a godly home? You've got that desire? Over the next few weeks, we'll continue to talk over how to build that godly home. The first thing, remember, He has to be the foundation. God has to be the foundation in your home. So today, welcome Jesus into your home and welcome Him as the center of it all. Ladies, I love you and I thank you for your time on the Mommy Meltdown. And I pray that today you will just love on those babies a little more. Give them sweet and gentle hugs and kisses and keep your eyes on Christ. All right. Love you. Have a great weekend. Blessings and joy.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Welcome to this month's segment of the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. I'm author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart. Oh, but it was God putting me back together, as well as my newest release, Mind Your Business Lady, the Women Entrepreneur's Complete Guide to Doing What You Love and Getting Paid to Do It. Welcome, welcome. Hello, February. We are in our first week of February, and I don't know about you guys, but I am feeling refreshed. I'm feeling renewed. I am feeling rejuvenated, all right? 2020 and the beginning of 2021 has definitely been one hell of a year. Yes, I said it, one hell of a year, okay? We have went through so much, but guess what? We survived. We are here. So again, welcome to the What Now God radio show. I thank you so much for tuning in. It is the first Friday of the month, which is when you can catch new segments of the What Now God radio show. Look out for new topics. Look out for new guests as we tackle the question, What Now God? What do we do now in such a time as this? What do we do now as Christian brothers and sisters to help, to uplift, to support, to encourage, to inspire and motivate each other so that we can help to make this world a better place, okay? One prayer, one person at a time. So again, thank you so much. Today we're going to discuss the topic, how do you heal? How do you heal? All right. We have been through, like I said, one hell of a 2020. At the beginning of the year, we dealt with the pandemic. We're still dealing with COVID-19. We're still suffering. It's still, you know, devastating our country, devastating the world. We dealt with Black lives being taken by hired police officers who were hired to serve and protect. We have been brutalized. We have had to watch over and over deaths, starting with George Floyd, which actually wasn't the start because we know it's been going on for a long time, but something that we all had to witness on television or on social media for those of you who actually saw it. And it has been devastating. 2020 has been a year of loss. 2020 has been a year of sorrow. 2020 has been a year that a lot of us may want to just forget, that has hurt us, that has left us feeling broken, that has left us feeling like, you know, there's no end in sight to it, have left us probably asking, why, God, why? So today we're going to discuss the topic, how do we heal? All right. And maybe you have went through something else in 2020. Maybe it wasn't just COVID and all the losses and the deaths and the sicknesses that we've experienced, not just as a country, but as families, right? Maybe you've went through other things besides having to, you know, be on lookout or being aware of everything that was going on with Black Lives Matter, having to stand up as African American men and women to say enough is enough, right? Maybe there's personal issues that you've dealt with, relationship issues, health issues that, you know, added on to the pain, added on to the sorrow. So we're going to discuss, how do we heal from these things? How do we move from the pain, get back to our purpose, and start prospering, okay, even in a pandemic, and start having our prayers answered, right? How do we heal? How do we feel better? How do we get better in the midst of everything that has happened in 2020, in the midst of a horrible aftermath of our 2020 election where, you know, we had domestic terrorism, where we watched domestic terrorists actually storm our Capitol, right? And I'm not going to get all into politics, but if you're like me, that was very emotional. That was very heartbreaking to me and devastating to see that in our country that we're still dealing with such division, such hate, such racism, right? And such panic during the pandemic and such confusion during the rollout of the vaccine, during the rollout of testing and treatment, and just basically trying to stay safe and alive. And before we go into, I'm going to share three tips that will help you heal, that will help you heal no matter what you're going through. But before we get into that, I just want to say God bless every single one who's listening, who has been sick with COVID, with coronavirus, who has loved ones who are sick or hospitalized, or maybe you were hospitalized, and especially for those who have lost loved ones due to the coronavirus or just any loss in general, because I know it's hard, okay? I know it's hard. We're all in this together, and we're all going to heal, and we're all going to get better together, God willing, and I pray to God that you know that we're coming out of this. We are coming out of this. God says to pray, to turn from our wicked ways, to repent, and he will hear from us in heaven and heal our land. So I invite you and I implore you to keep on praying, okay? Even if you don't see immediate results, even if it looks like it's just so dark and there's no light at the end of the tunnel, know that it is darkest before dawn and that the light is still here. The light that is our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is still here. Jesus saves and God is still in control. So let's just keep going. We're going to, again, the topic for today is how do we heal? And the key word here is we, all right? Because we're all in this together. The sun shines on good and bad alike. The rain pours on good and bad alike as well, right? So we need to be mindful that we are in this together. And whether we agree, whether we disagree, or we agree to disagree about anything, whether it's who you voted for in the 2020 election, whether it's how to best handle the pandemic, whether it's what should we be on a shutdown or not, whatever that is, I want you to know that we are all in this together. And if we heal, we'll heal together. But if we suffer, we're going to suffer together, right? So let's stop all the dividing, the division, the finger pointing, the blame game, and let's just do these three things. And if we do them and we are an example to our loved ones, an example to our families, our friends, even the world, then I truly, truly believe that we can heal and we can change our situation for the better. So number one, the first thing that we must do if we want to heal, if we want to experience any type of healing, whether it's in this pandemic, whatever, we have to love, okay? We have to remember that the word says above all things, love. Love God, love your neighbors as you love yourself, okay? And then remember what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not self-seeking. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Love covers all, right? Love never fails. And let's be real, sometimes it's hard to love. Sometimes it is hard to love. When you're down and out, when you feel like somebody has done you wrong for no reason, when you feel like life is just unfair, right? Sometimes it's hard to love. Sometimes it's hard to show that loving kindness to others, right? Sometimes it's hard even to show that loving kindness to ourselves. And that is something that we have to be reminded of constantly, right? God is love. And if we show the love that God continues to give us every single day he wakes you up with breath in your body. Every single day he wakes you up and clothes you and feeds you. Every single day he gives you a purpose. Every single day he says, keep going, daughter, keep going, son. You are my child. I will never leave you or forsake you. Every time he answers your prayer, that is God showing love, that unconditional love, that love like no other. And if we can just be an example, if we can just take a little piece of that love that we receive from God and pass it on to others, then guess what? I promise you, the healing will begin. And then we cannot forget to love ourselves. Some of us, we're so hard on ourselves and we forget how to love ourselves. We forget about that self-love, right? We were talking about in my Facebook group, Sisters Women's Empowerment Network, which I am CEO and founder of, where I teach women entrepreneurs how to use their God-given gifts and talents to create wealth while serving others. We were talking about the love languages. And one of our members, she teaches on the 5 self-love languages. Okay, so how do you like to be loved? How do you like to show love to yourself? Do you need that quality time with yourself? Do you need to take some time out to take that bubble bath? Do you need to listen to your favorite music? Do you need to get out into nature and walk? What is it that you need to do to show yourself that loving kindness so that you'll be able to pass that on to others? Because sometimes it's so hard for us to give love to others because we've forgotten to give that same love to ourselves. All right. And if you're a giver, if you're a helper, if you're constantly looking out for others, sometimes it gets hard, right? Sometimes you can get bitter, but the antidote and the answer to that, to not getting bitter, to not growing weary while doing good, is to take the time out to love yourself, okay? Take the time out. Maybe you need to go to your favorite ice cream shop and grab a scoop of ice cream, right? Maybe you need to watch a comedy movie to make you smile. All of these are parts of healing. And then when we learn to love ourselves, I promise you it is so easy to love others, because now that you've given that self-love to yourself and you know what you need to make you feel better, you can send that text message to someone else to say, hey, I'm just checking on you. How are you? You can pick up that phone and make that phone call to that person who may be shut in, who may be alone, quarantined during the pandemic, to say, just checking on you. You can pick up your computer and log on to Uber Eats and send someone a meal who may be suffering through coronavirus, right? You can send someone groceries through Instacart. There are so many things that we can do to show love to others. Sometimes it's just a word of encouragement to say, hey, you're going to make it. You can do it. God has not forgotten you. And sometimes it's just simple as remembering others in your prayers, right? There's so many ways that we can show love. So that's number one on how do we heal? How do we start to heal as a country, as a nation, as the world, as families, as individuals? How do we heal? You have to be willing to show love. And sometimes I get it. You're tapped out. You're frustrated. You're sad. You may be heartbroken, devastated even. Okay. I get it. I have been there. Trust and believe. I have been there. There's been days when I said, God, why? Not just why me, but I'm done. You know, I've said it. I've written off people just to turn right around and pray for them. And then when I pray for them, God worked it out. Not only did God work it out, but He showed me where I went wrong and how to pray and love on people. You have to love people in spite of them, okay? You have to love people in spite of them. Sometimes we have high expectations of how people should be. And it's not to say that, people won't get on your nerves or people won't do something that you don't agree with that, like I said, makes it hard to love. But guess what? Love anyway. Love anyway. Love in spite of and love anyway. That is the first and number one step and answer to the question, how do we heal? All right. So let's move on to number two. And I hope that number one uplifted you. And I just want you to know that I love you, that God loves you. All right. God loves us in spite of us. So let's take a moment to find ways that we can show that love to others. Okay. Even the unlovable, even the seemingly unlovable. So number two, it goes hand in hand with number one. And this one, it's harder, right? And these steps that I'm sharing with you, they're not easy. Sometimes they take practice, and we know practice makes perfect. So some of these you'll have to practice. You might fail. You practice, you may do better. You practice, you may think you got it, and then you fall again and you have to remind yourself, right? But we're not going to give up. Healing is a process. So each one of these steps within the healing process, as we answer the question, how do we heal, is a process. So don't be hard on yourselves if you can't get it right away. Okay. We're all growing and we're all in different steps of our growth process. Okay. So number two is to forgive. And I can speak on this all day because it's something that I have struggled with. I used to think forgiving meant I had to admit that I was admitting that what that other person did was okay. Knowing they were wrong, wrong is two left shoes, right? But I used to really think that if I forgive somebody, then that's letting them off the hook. Or if I forgive somebody, that means that what they did to me was okay. No, no, no. That is not the case. Forgiving is actually for you. Okay. Forgiving is releasing the hurt that the action caused you. Forgiving is releasing the need for revenge, all right? Because God says, vengeance is mine. It is mine to repay. When is the last time God told you a lie? I'll wait, right? Because God does not lie. He cannot lie. So if God says, vengeance is mine, it is mine to repay, then best believe anyone who has wronged you, all right, whether it was yesterday, whether it was today, whether it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, okay? God is in control. God is going to repay them. It's not up to us to worry. It's not up to us to seek revenge. It's not up to us to harbor grudges. It's not up to us to harbor that pain. Because when you don't forgive, that's what you're doing. You're holding on to pain. You're voluntarily holding on to pain that is hurting you. Sometimes the people that we need to forgive, the people who have wronged us, don't even know that they need to be forgiven. They don't even know that you're holding a grudge. They don't even know. And sometimes they don't even care if they do know, right? So they're not in pain. They're not suffering. Yet here you are, you're suffering. You're reliving that moment. You're reliving that issue. You're reliving what happened in the past or what they did to you. You're reliving it over and over. Every time you think about them, every time something reminds you of them, you're hurting over and over again. You can't let it go. And what happens when you're holding on to something so tight, when you're holding on to that pain so tight and your hands are clenched, your teeth are clenched, and you're holding stress. Stress is all in your body. Your hands are so tightly closed and holding on to that unforgiveness that you can't open your hands to receive the blessings that God is trying to give you. The blessing of forgiveness that is truly for you and not for the other person. So if you look at it like that, I really had to, you know, look at it in a different perspective to be able to forgive others, to be able to smile and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I'm not holding on to that pain. Thank you, God, that I'm not holding on to that offense, that hurt, as wrong as it was, as painful as it was, as hurtful as it was. Thank you, God, that I'm able to release it, that I'm able to say, I forgive. And sometimes it doesn't mean, this is another thing that stops a lot of people from being able to forgive, is because we think we're supposed to forgive someone a hurt, forgive someone an offense, and then reconcile with them immediately. Sometimes the only reconciliation that's needed is saying, God, I forgive. I let that offense go. I let that unforgiveness go. Sometimes the only reconciliation that is needed is with your thoughts in your mind about how you're thinking about that person in that situation. Forgive and let go. Let go and let God. Now, some relationships, they're worth salvaging. Some relationships, God is working even now to restore. And then let's flip it. While we're talking about forgiveness and forgiving others, we may be the ones who need to be forgiven, right? We're no saints. Nobody is perfect. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, right? So we have to remember that sometimes that forgiveness, we're the ones who need it. God, forgive me for anything I've said or done that is not pleasing to you, for any way that I've hurt anybody. Forgive me, right? I say that in a prayer every single day, because sometimes we offend others, we hurt others, and we may not be aware. Sometimes we may do it on purpose because we're hurting, right? Hurt people hurt people. So we have to learn to forgive. Forgive others and forgive ourselves. And when we do that, we're way on the road of healing, okay? So that's number two in how do we heal. Number one was to love. Number two is to forgive. And number three is we have to learn to act and not react. We have to learn to act and not react. That means we're going to be proactive in our actions, and our actions are going to be positive. Our actions are going to be results driven. our actions are going to be wrapped in love, wrapped in forgiveness. We're not going to allow ourselves to react to every single word that's said to us that may hurt us or offend us. We're not going to allow ourselves to react to every trick of the enemy. The devil is working. Him and his minions are out here. They're trying to get your attention, get my attention. They're trying to divide. The devil comes for what? To steal, kill, and destroy, right? He's trying to steal your blessings. He's trying to kill your dreams. He's trying to destroy your destiny. And how does he do that? He does things. He sends situations, people, that causes us to react. So instead of acting as God-fearing, loving women and men of God, children of God, we just react. Someone throws something at us, we immediately react and throw it back. Someone steps on our toes, we step on their toes, but a little bit harder, right? We cannot afford to constantly react to everything that's going on around us, everything that's going on in this world, everything that you see on the media, you know, everything that you hear. We cannot afford to keep reacting. We have to learn to be proactive and to take positive action so that we can see change, whatever that positive action may be, right? Being leaders instead of followers, loving on each other instead of hating each other, forgiving even the unforgivable, right? And once we do all of those three things, once we learn to love, once we learn to forgive, once we learn to not react to every negative thing that comes our way, I promise you that healing will take place. And it's a beautiful thing. And oh my God, I can't believe our time is up right now, but I just want to say God bless you all. Thank you so much for continuing to tune in to the What Now God radio show. We're on first Fridays of every month. My name is Cheryl Woods. I am your host, and I just appreciate you and love you so much. God bless you, and I'll see you next time.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way radio channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.